Hello, everyone, and welcome to We Blame Harry Styles, a podcast dedicated to the work of musician, model, and actor Harry Styles.
This week in episode 28, we're going to take a deep dive into Harry's long-awaited late-night talking music video.
My name is Key.
And I'm Gray.
And what do we blame Harry for this week, Gray?
So, he's very rudely touring Europe right now, and the Europe time zone is right in the middle of my work day.
So inconvenient.
It's very inconvenient. I either have to, while I'm doing my work, because I'm definitely working if my coworkers listen to this podcast, I have to find him on the Instagram live and like edit my little documents while he's shaking his booty in the tab over here. And of course, the problem with all of this is that in many of these arenas, the Wi-Fi is quite bad. So I'm doing my best to be a good employee, but if the Wi-Fi keeps cutting out in Krakow, what am I supposed to do? I have to go find, you know, I have to go to H-Slot Lives and watch that account start crying because everybody's like, why are none of your lives working? And they're like, I'm sorry, I don't live in Poland, I don't know.
That poor person.
So yeah, I blame Harry for that glorious distraction from the humdrums of life. Key, what do you blame Harry for this week?
It's got to be the fact that we are recording this podcast in 90 degree heat.
Oh, so 90 degrees, is it?
It is, and it's like weird because it's like, you know, all over the world, people have all these different climates. You got all these different things going on. I feel like right now is like a heat wave. Every single person I know is like going through, like friends in California, you got people in the UK. It's like, yeah. Everybody's like, oh my God, I'm dying. And so I just want you all to appreciate that we are bringing you this podcast and this high quality air conditionerless audio. We are making this sacrifice for this podcast. So I just want everybody to appreciate that.
Lesser podcasters than us would keep their air conditioning on and subject you to the noise, the sturm and drang of air conditioning, but not us. Not us that we blame Harry Styles.
Because we're all about sacrifice.
We are all about sacrifice.
We've been saying that ever since we started this podcast, that our motto is sacrifice. So I just hope that, you know,
yeah,
that's appreciated.
All right. So with that, we are going to move into the news. Now, listeners, we realize that we have been away for some time due to a multitude of reasons.
Yeah, so I had surgery, and that's one of the reasons. It was one of those things where it's like, you know, we're like, oh my God, we're so excited to cover this album cycle. Like, we have all these plans, and then it's like full-time jobs, and then it's like getting things removed from your body through surgery. It's like, you know, stuff just kind of comes up, so yeah. You never know.
We both had COVID. Key had surgery. I haven't had surgery. Well, I had surgery last year. So I guess this is our second surgical podcast.
We're going to have one per album cycle. So stay tuned for HS4 and what what month off we'll take because of some insert surgery here in the future.
Listen, I'm not having any more surgeries. Thank you.
I really hope to not, but we'll have to see.
So don't curse us with that. This is not we blame surgery. Anyway.
No, but in fact, we thank it. It's great.
We thank surgery. But you know who we do blame is Harry Styles for doing many things despite how you were preoccupied with healing from being under the knife.
Yeah, it was actually great. It's like I had a lot of free time, so no complaints there.
Yeah. Okay, so My Policeman First Look came out in June, and we almost spent a whole episode on it. And then I was like, oh, probably like the late night talking music video is going to come before he has surgery, and then it didn't, so we didn't record on that. We will talk about the first look eventually, but we're not going to talk about it today. But we did notice that it did happen, and we were clowns and did not cover it because we thought that this music video was coming. Sorry. Moving on. Harry is releasing a new Pleasing collection, and it's called Hot Holiday, and the copy for the advertisement is predictably I never know what pleasing is ever saying. I want to be on whatever the person who writes the pleasing copy is on. It seems awesome.
Yeah, whoever that marketing person is, like, they have a unique personality.
Yeah, yeah. Can you hook us up with whatever weed you're smoking? Thank you. So I did appreciate I try not to shill for Harry Styles too much besides his concerts. but
and our hours long of multiple podcasts that we dedicate to him.
Listen, I just mean his consumerist products, okay? Like, I don't want to be an advertisement for pleasing, but I did like that they had a trans guy in the ad. For yeah, listeners who cool may not see. Know, I am transgender, and so...
What? How did you not tell that to me before we had this whole podcast?
I know. Sorry, Key. I realize it's a shock to you and to everybody. But...
It's actually a deal breaker for me, so it's wow. kind of awkward. Okay. But...
All right. No, but I did like the trans guy in the ad. I thought it was cool. I love that they donate to Queer Circle. I love this little July collection. All of the haters were really rooting for him to drop something in June so that they could slam it. And then what happened was Harry waited firmly until July.
It's actually really smart.
Which was really smart because A, it stuck out because nobody else was dropping in fucking July. And B, he still has a little like queer organization tie-in anyway with Queer Circle, which I think is wonderful. So thank you, Pleasing, for your... Pride collection that you strategically released in July. anyway, moving on. Gucci Ha Ha Ha, I suppose it's a capsule collection that I will be unable to afford. Harry Styles is officially a fashion designer. You know, the reports of him designing a wedding dress for his girlfriend a year and a half ago were false, but...
it was such a funny tabloid rumor.
They were false, but it appears that if he were to do it, he would have the capacity, as he has designed a capsule collection with Gucci, Alessandro Michele. It's called Ha 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 because they're laughing that I don't have the money to afford this collection. And also...
Their initials are H.A.
Their initials are H.A. And also they're laughing that I'm not part of their friendship and don't get free things. So I... intend to buy knockoffs of it as soon as I can, and yeah, that exists. Do you have feelings on anything I've listed so far, Key?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the branding around Gucci Ha 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 was cute. I feel this similarly to you. Like, yeah. I'm not like none of this is really relevant to me. I'm not gonna purchase any of that because I'm not gonna be able to afford it. But yeah, I don't know. I thought the little like bear logo was cute. But
yeah,
any thoughts beyond that? I'm kind of like, well, you know, it'd be nice, but maybe once I make millions of dollars on this podcast. So.
Oh God. The cancellations we would receive. Okay, so finally, this is our last news item, which is I just wanted to talk a second before we get into late night talking about As It Was's success, because as we are recording, As It Was has been in the top 10 for 15 weeks.
That's crazy.
It has been...
At number one or two.
Number one or two, non-consecutively at number one for 10 weeks. Which is, it's only the 42nd in history to spend 10 weeks at number one.
That's insane.
And, you know, Harry's House is comparatively successful as well. It looks like, I mean, really, it looks like Harry is literally just getting started with this, which is like a little like shiver down my spine. It's kind of dope.
It is. And I feel like some of this, like we talked about this when we recorded our Harry's House episode, like, I think you could kind of see some of this coming. Like, yeah. I'll say here too, like, the podcast Switched on Pop did a great episode on Harry, like, focusing mainly on Music for a Sushi Restaurant, but, like, again, not to, like, direct you away from what you're now listening to. Please come back. But I would recommend you listen to that if you want kind of, like, a really in-depth, like, musical analysis of that song and some of the songs in Harry's House. But it does feel like... like vindication to hear people like just openly be like, I dismissed this as like light, easy listening when it came out, and like over time have come to appreciate it more. Like, I feel like, you know, that was like a topic of conversation that we had when we talked about the album and how we kind of like saw that coming. And so it's nice. It's really kind of nice to see that happen over time and kind of be fulfilled in that way. So, yeah, it's been great.
I guess my one question is, like, what do you think has captured As It Was in the public's imagination? This is something that I've been really mulling over as it just keeps going week after week. What zeitgeist has it clung on to?
And it's weird because it's, like, not really Song of the Summery because it's not summery. And maybe that's just because, like, I always think of music videos.
Visuals of
the music videos with the songs. And the video is, like, not summery at all.
Right.
So it's, like, it's funny that, like, that now its success has kind of taken on that, like, moniker because of just the timing. Yeah, I think it's just, it's, we talked about this when it came out. I think it's like the low-key pandemic, you know, vibes of it all and like the coming out of that experience that we all had. And you know, I think it's just a good song, man. Mm-hmm. So it's like a combination of like a lot of different things. But I think, yeah, I think the themes of it and how kind of low-key it is and it doesn't overstay its welcome and it you can listen to it over and over again and it kind of doesn't, you don't get sick of it easily. I think, you know, it contributes to that.
Yeah, it's great. To kind of transition into the next segment, in terms of As It Was a success, do you think that Late Night Talking came out when it was supposed to, or do you think it was supposed to come out earlier? Because I kind of thought it was supposed to come out at the end of April, but then they kind of just kept pushing it. But I'm curious about what you think.
I find it really interesting. I think this will actually get us into kind of our thoughts on it. And like, it's funny because I didn't initially start the conversation here, but it's probably a good place to start where like I kind of think of this, you know how people talk about like artists doing like one for us, one for them, or like one for me, one for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, this video to me feels like a one for us. Like like I think of that as like part of the fandom, I guess, because in my head, I don't see it as having like broken out in the same way.
No, I agree.
So I feel the kind of like this ownership over it as like, you know, like one for us. But I think the reason why, and I think I don't think that Late Night Talking is going to get the same success as It Was did. I'd love to be wrong about that. I like Late Night Talking better, frankly, as a song. Well, is that true? I have now, I feel like, you know, there's a lot to be said for As It Was a success and like why it succeeded and you know, all the great things about that. But in Late Night Talking is just a different beast that on first listen I liked more. But I think, yeah, it's just like when you have such a smash hit single like As It Was, it becomes, the timing becomes really difficult. So I think like what happened was that just was so successful that you don't want to dilute that by then pushing something else. And so then you get to a point where it's like, okay, people have known about this for forever. It really should, like, it's kind of a summery song. It's kind of a summery vibe. How much can we really push this? Yeah, so I think that's kind of what happened, and I don't mind that at all. I think, like I'm not one of those people that's like, oh my god, the Late Night Talking music video's view count is, like, less than the debut of the, you know, Adore You music video. Like, I don't give a shit about that, frankly. Like, I love the video, and I'm happy to have it, and so it feeling like a nice thing that we got that's like fun to watch and that like means something to fans and to anybody who happens to come across it is like, that's special to me and that's enough. But yeah, I do think that that's kind of what happened. Does that resonate with you?
No, it definitely does. And I kind of think that like, honestly, when As It Was started really taking off and like, I think once it started hitting, you know, like it's been a month on the charts, I was like, Late Night Talking is kind of like in a similar bop vein where I'm not sure if it could reach the same heights as It Was because it's like in I think like tempo-wise it's kind of similar in my mind. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think like Late Night Talking to me reminds me a lot of Adore You. Like they're I put them in the same category. And I think like I think you're right though that anytime you think about like, oh, what's the next thing gonna be, what's this next era gonna be like, what's the promo gonna be like, I think we all think back to the previous era and try to like slot everything into what's previously happened. And so we got the first single Lights Up for, you know, Fine Line, and it was like it wasn't really a radio single. It was kind of like, I forget what the term is, a buzz single, whatever. It's like they didn't push it super hard, it didn't go crazy in the charts, and like that was fine. Everybody was like, okay. And then as things ramped up, then you have the crazy success eventually of Watermelon Sugar that mm-hmm. following summer. And then I think, you know, it makes sense for them from a marketing perspective to be like, oh, can we make that happen again by then placing another single around that same time? But then who can predict that then actually right. it's the first song that has this kind of natural growth in life that even exceeds what Watermelon Sugar yeah. did. So then I think you just have to lean into it mm-hmm. and kind of pivot based on that, which is, I think, what happened. So it, yeah. it is kind of fascinating to see how that all
it is. Out. And I do think that there are singles on this album with, and I don't want to get too derailed, but I do kind of think that there are some dark horses that could overtake. I kind of think that that one music video that's like Big Bird if he slayed is Music for a Sushi Restaurant. I really think that Music for a Sushi Restaurant could do some numbers.
I think so too, yeah.
Because it sounds very different from As It Was. I want to hear Music for a Sushi Restaurant at Target. I'm manifesting it.
I've heard Late Night Talking Around, though. The other night I was in a Greek restaurant, heard it on the radio, so it's out there.
It is out there. It's waiting for you. I haven't heard any of these songs on the radio yet because I think I haven't been in public enough.
You need to get out there, Greg. Get out into the 90-degree heat just so that you can do a scavenger hunt with if you can hear As It Was or Late Night Talking on the radio.
Maybe I'm not taking my girlfriend on adequate dates. I don't know.
I think when you go together to a Harry Styles concert, you'll cement that as not an issue.
Right.
All right, so we've kind of skirted around it. Okay. We talked about it a little bit in terms of like the one for us, one for them kind of deal, but yeah, what did you, let's just get into the video. What were your initial thoughts and your watch experience, that sort of thing?
I feel like and I think that you might have similar feelings. As longtime listeners will know, the casting sheet leaked on a blog mostly filled with evil content, but sometimes filled with accurate content. And so we had that thought going in, but then as we were waiting for the video to happen, I think a lot of us started feeling like, well, maybe it's not true. I don't want to get my hopes up. You know, maybe this person is just like messing with us, whatever. So I did kind of watch the video with like this anticipation, like, is this going to be the way that it seemed it was going to be? Or is this person just messing with me? And then, I mean, the casting sheet did turn out to be true. I wouldn't say that's exactly like the most thrilling experience to be relieved.
I feel the same way. Yeah. So like I loved the video and like I'll get into more in depth how I feel about that later. But that same, I would say like, it doesn't change, like, it doesn't really change my feelings on the video. I think I would have loved it either way. Mm-hmm. But I do wish that I'd been surprised by everything in it. Of course, there were elements of it that were surprising because the casting brief wasn't exactly what ended up in the final cut of the video. But obviously, like, I hate leaks. I just wish everything was kept under wraps. Like, stuff like that is so big on social media, you really can't avoid it. Like, you know, I won't listen to leaks if stuff leaks early, but like, you know, with posts like this, you can't avoid it. So it's kind of a bummer that, yeah, I felt where I was like, you know, I did have that feeling when I first watched it of like, oh, like I really liked those ideas that it seemed like the casting brief was set out to explore. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, dope. Like it was right. Like, so I'm going to get to see this thing that I was excited mm-hmm. about. So that was mm-hmm. fun. And at the same time, kind of a double-edged sword. Cause you're like, I think if I had heard absolutely nothing about this video prior and it just dropped and we were surprised by every element of it, I think there might have been kind of like a more heightened, buzzy element to it that I think with fans already kind of seeing the casting brief wasn't there as much. Yeah. That being said, like, it's just such an enjoyable video that it's undeniable, it is, yeah. right? Like, it doesn't really cut down on my appreciation for it at all.
I will say that Harry, with his penchant for group sex in music videos, has started to make me feel a little bit like a bored Roman emperor.
Oh my god.
Because I'm like, there's too many orgies.
I don't agree. We're really opposed on this. I want more. I want every single one of his videos to have that concept in it somewhere.
Are you sure?
Even yeah, like, why not? I love it like, every time. I'm so not sick of it.
So you think like Adore You, if there was an orgy in it, would be an improved video?
I'm not sure it totally vibes with the tone, but I don't know. The people on that island are quirky. I feel like you can make it work.
Well, that is certainly a fan art image that will not leave my head anytime soon. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. Mostly, I think, because, I don't know, I kind of wish that I had not had access to that brief, because I feel like it really has colored my experiences of, like, I was waiting for this, and then when I watched it, I was anticipating X, Y, Z. And I think that, like, if this video had rolled out, there would have been, like, a lot more, A, noise about all of the people in his bed on, like, social media and stuff, and B, like, I would have been, like, surprised by it. That said, like, I sound like I don't like this video, and I really love this video. I've watched it, like, a lot of times. I think it's really well constructed. I think it's really cute. The people
adorable.
All just seem like they had a lot of fun and were friendly. On Instagram, apparently, they all named themselves Harry's Angels.
Very cute.
We'll get into the artistry of it, but I mean, good direction from Bradley and Pablo. Very cohesive tone. Certainly a worthy entry into the Harry Orgy trilogy that we have going. As I watch, I've watched the trilogy in order a few times, and I think we'll circle back to this again later. But as I've integrated it into the mental landscape of, like, what the trilogy is, I mean, I guess my only thing I have to say is I don't know what orgy ground Mr. Styles has not covered yet, but if he has new ground, I mean,
I was gonna say, what a challenge. You've thrown down the gauntlet.
I've thrown down the gauntlet. This is,
let him pick it up.
Hammer.
I want to see what he's got,
man. That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Yeah, people have said, you know, there a criticism that I've sometimes heard that I don't agree with Harry's music is that you can't be like, oh, that's a Harry Styles song, that he doesn't have, like, you know, an easily identifiable, like, trait of his songwriting style. You know, I'm not sure about that. I don't totally agree about that. But what I will say is that he completely has a unified and identifiable music video style and aesthetic that I really dig and that I think is really fun and that I think almost is an in-joke at this point. Yeah, so if you're on the lookout for somehow water being incorporated, if you're on the lookout for people of various genders cavorting in some fashion, if I feel like there's like a checklist
make. Crucially, cavorting in very flattering but not too revealing casual clothing.
Yeah, so it's all on the list. I love that checklist. I want it again. Give me more. I'm not tired of it. It's peak comfort vibes. You were mentioning before, like, the quote unquote trilogy. For me, it's like, it does remind me a little bit of, like, Lights Up without the angst, like, like the scenes in Lights Up that, like, are absent of the kind of, like, angst that's at the core of that video, which is great. And, yeah, I love the tone of it. You'd mentioned the tone. To me, it's like the word I thought of when I was trying to think of, like, how to describe this tone is, like, euphemistic. So, like, you've got, it's, like, cheeky, it's enjoyable. But, yeah, I love this idea of it being, like, kind of, like, this euphemistic tone. It's very winky. It's very, like, knowledgeable that, like, it's a metaphor, but it's, you know, it's a metaphor that's very obvious. That's just out on, you know, on the sleeve. So I really, really enjoy that. I think they really nailed that. And I think that's something that, like, you can see kind of in the Watermelon Sugar video as well, although that video does have a different tone. I think there's, like, that's going for something a little different, but I think that is kind of a commonality, that there is kind of, like, a cheeky, euphemistic tone to both those videos that Bradley and Pablo, I think, nail really well. So I enjoy that.
Harry, in his videos, it's funny because he does make some videos that have some very charged implications, but he's not having sex. He's just eating fruit. He's not having sex. He's just napping. He's just dancing.
That's the euphemism of it all. Yeah, so I love the video. We'll get into later, you know, the specifics of it and break it down and the themes and like where it sits in our ranking of music videos. But yeah, I had a really good time. Mm-hmm. I was on the beach, not literally on the beach when I watched it, but I was like on a beach vacation. So that was fun. And so it very much, you know, it is in that zone of my mind for me where I'm like just like a fun kind of summer type of vibe and experience. So yeah, really enjoyed it.
All right. So, I'm gonna read through the lyrics. Opening synths.
Woo! I just wrote that because the opening synths are fun, okay? When he's on the stage and he performs this live and he like tiptoes to each individual synth.
Very he's fun. Too cute. Okay, things haven't been quite the same. There's a haze on the horizon, babe. It's only been a couple of days, and I miss you. when nothing really goes to plan, you stub your toe or break your camera, I'll do everything I can to help you through. So the first lines, I like the rhyming scheme a lot, like especially with before I started writing down the lyrics to this, I didn't realize that he rhymed plan, camera, and can, and then he specifically deliberately like kind of trails off the end of camera to like make it have like a nice little like rhythm that's slightly different than the first stanza. I don't know, it's just really well constructed. I find it very amusing that like as I was kind of analyzing that, it kind of became apparent to me that like When this song first came out, everybody was like, oh my god, he's mentioning a camera. Who has a camera in Harry's life? It's like, well, I, plan, camera, and can. I actually think maybe like the fact that he's dating a director is just a coincidence. Because like many people own cameras. Sorry, guys.
Fun little coincidence.
But it is an awesome rhyme. Do you have anything to add?
Just in terms of like thinking about it through the lens of the video, which is the main thing we're talking about today, it's just like I like the kind of like casual confidence of the way that he sings this song. It's like it reminds me when they told the story of when they wrote, like they recorded, wrote and recorded this like really quickly and easily, and he just said it kind of just like flew out of them and it was like super easy, and they just knew they had it in the bag. And the way he sings it kind of like reflects that to me. He's like not trying too hard. It's like pretty laid back for like the energy of the lyrics, which is like pretty strong. And it just reminds me of the euphemistic tone of the video and the kind of like casual confidence of the video itself. So it's like it fits it very well, I think.
Yeah. All right. So now we go to the pre-chorus and the chorus. If you're feeling down, I just want to make you happier, baby. Wish I was around, I just want to make you happier, baby. We've been doing all this late night talking about anything you want until the morning. Now you're in my life, I can't get you off my mind. I always like the wish I was around, just because like for some reason I'm like, yeah, I can tell you wrote this during the pandemic. Yeah, I wish I was around, I had that feeling too. But yeah, no, it's a great hook.
It's just very simple and effective. Like, it reminds me of Adore You in that way. Like, I just feel like he's in his bag with writing about, like, preliminary infatuation. And, like, he knows that. And, yeah, it's just, like, you know, it doesn't... It's nothing, like, super profound, but it doesn't have to be because it's just, like, a, you know, a very catchy and kind of effective sentiment. So, yeah, it's really fun.
So, I've never been a fan of change, but I follow you to any place. If it's Hollywood or Bishop's Gate, I'm coming too. I found it interesting. I don't know if this is relevant at all, but I'm fascinated by how this line, I've never been a fan of change, exists. And we know at the same time that he was writing this or thereabouts, he also wrote the song Changes for Cam, which is like about you think nothing's going to change till everything changes. I don't know. I don't know if it has a specific resonance, but I feel like change was maybe on his mind at this period of time.
Yeah, I hadn't put that together. That's one of my favorite lyrics. I just think it's interesting and it's a good insight. Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy that. And he said, like, you know, that he's kind of boring, that he likes routine. I can relate to that in a way, so I think that's fun.
Okay. So then we go back into the chorus. So if you're feeling down, I just want to make you happier, baby. Wish I was around. I just want to make you happier, baby. We've been doing all this late night talking, but anything you want until the morning. Now you're in my life. I can't get you off my mind. The song just kind of goes on and on about how he can't get you off his mind and how he's, a new feeling emerges, how he won't even try to get you off his mind. Ooh. Yeah. So we've been doing all this late night talking. So thoughts, Key, any closing thoughts on the song?
I guess just that, like, and this happens to me with, like, almost all of Harry's songs that have music videos. I just, like, the music video has already endeared the song to me even more than I was already endeared to it, which I was pretty endeared to it before. But yeah, I just, like, you know, when listening to it again, when looking at these lyrics to try and come up with something to have thoughts about, I was just struck by, like, how clearly now I picture the video and associate the video and what happens in the video with the song now. So that's always fun to kind of like then gain images and you know, all these different things to associate with the song after it's come out.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Okay, so we are going to move into a recap and reaction scene by scene of the Late Night Talking music video. So the video begins with Harry snoring in bed. He's a little snorer before waking up to discover that he's all alone in a state of confusion. He looks under the covers before crawling through the sheets in his polka dot pajamas. So he starts off the video wearing pink pajamas, and then underneath the covers, he is wearing brown polka dot pajamas.
I truly never realized that until this moment right now.
Really?
Like, I didn't register that when you wrote it in the document. Never picked up on it. Never noticed it. So,
I even messaged you about it. Wow.
I guess I didn't read it carefully enough.
So there were some people who noted that because it seems like the brown pajamas are some sort of dream world, he's also wearing red socks with the brown pajamas, and he's wearing blue socks with the pink ones. And
let's not get into the Matrix again.
People have been trying to do the Matrix about it. I'm like, I don't know if it's that deep.
Sometimes colors are just red and blue. I don't know what to tell you. They're two of the primary colors. Like, if you're going to have three colors, those are the two. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Let's not write a thesis on it.
Yeah. But, like, the outfits do change when he goes under the bed. So I don't know if it would be any more of an allegory for the Matrix, except for I think that there's, like, two worlds, maybe. There's, like, the non-bed world and the bed
world. Yeah, that's, like, vaguely applicable, but like no vague. More or less than Alice in Wonderland, than any, you know. I don't want to, like, call, like, I, you know, if you love the Matrix theory as it applies to this, I don't mean to, like, really harsh your vibe. That's fine. People can bring what they bring to it. I just think, like, this video is not that deep, and, like, this will come out, like, as we talk about it. Like, there's, like, one moment in the video that I think, like, could, you know, we could read into, but, like, this is all vibes, guys. It's like, this is very fun. Yeah. It's enjoyable. I don't think we need to write 2,000 words on how it's a Matrix allegory.
Yeah. Something of note, on a speaker in his bedroom, when he's wearing the pink pajamas, there is a discarded shirt on top of it. And we will see the shirt reappear on a person later in the music video.
Yeah, that was fun because I actually wrote in my notes before I, like, finished reading the summary of where it pops up later, like, what do you make of the two shots that focus on the shirt? I was kind of perplexed by that. Like, why are those there? They're, like, very distinctive, and, like, you can tell that the filmmakers want you to notice the shirt, and I, like, didn't really get that. And then, yeah, that was a fun thing to kind of, like, pop up later in the video. So we'll talk to it.
So do you have any other thoughts about this first scene, Keith? It seems like you perhaps have written in this document that you are anti-carpet.
Listen,
it's a lobbying position.
I just hate carpet. What can I say? Rugs are great. Like, rugs that sit on top of flooring, great. Carpet, very anti. There could be stuff in there. I don't like that idea. I don't like how it looks. I'm very anti-carpet. So this room that he's in at the beginning here, not ideal for me.
Not ideal.
So yeah, I would say the locations improve throughout the throughout the video. The bed is big and it looks great, but yeah, they're not pro carpet. But yeah, I love how it begins with his snore. I just think it's like, so there's great, like, cheeky, fun sound design in this video.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, and this, like, opening snore is just very funny, and it kind of sets the tone, and, like, for that to be the first thing you hear, it's, like, it just has that kind of, like, cheeky energy that you know, permeates throughout the video, so that's a really fun way to start it.
What I love about the sound design in this music video, and this conversation will recur, is I actually feel like it's not common for Harry's music videos to sound differently in the music video than they sound on the record. And I always love when music videos, like, they play with the song a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like in the Adore You video when it changes, when, you know, he plays the record.
Right.
Things like that.
Right. But, like, this one does it a lot. And I just really like that. It feels like the music video and the song itself are, like, friends serving each other rather than, like, this is just a video about a song.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I love, like, my favorite one probably in the entire video is the slide whistle, which is takes place at the end of this little scene as he, like, dives into the bed universe.
And shows his feet. There's many feet. There's so many feet.
Let's not Tarantino it up in this podcast here. I don't know about you guys. I didn't even notice the feet. It passed me by. I'm just a simple, humble music video watcher. I don't pick up on those things.
Oh, you don't pick up on those things. Okay, all right.
So that shot is just really funny, like when he falls in, and it's just like a very cute and funny shot. And then, yeah, I love the slide whistle. I will say, he really crawls under those sheets for a long time. Like,
he does.
It's a whole journey. It's a journey. It lasts, like, longer than you would think.
It really does. Oh, one funny, so I have been reading, and I will sprinkle in some things that I've seen throughout this conversation, but for no particular reason, I have been reading many of the comments on this video, and, like, there were some people who were debating the necklace that he was wearing underneath the bed, because obviously Christian saw that it was a cross, and they were like, well, this is a heathen video, he should take that off. And then there were some atheists down there that were like, Harry's a Christian, that's so not cool.
So, you know, if they read his interview with Chelsea Handler, they would know he's a spiritualist. So do your homework, people in the YouTube comments.
They can also find it on his Wikipedia page, which I have not edited.
Wow, not suspicious at all. But yeah, so we've spent enough time on this section, okay. But it's a cute opener, and it's like, if you think of the video as kind of like a dream sequence, like, it definitely has a lot of that vibe. And so, yeah, it's fun to kind of, like, start off in the waking up place to kind of set that tone.
Yeah. So also, as I'm reading as well, if there's any, like, weird turns of phrase or whatever, some of the descriptions of this I got from, like, a metro.co.uk article that I won't even be linking to in our podcast description, because obviously it's, like, a tabloid, but, like, it had some good list of things that occurred. Okay, so just, like, bear with me. After Harry's initial befuddlement, he finds himself in a scarlet colored bed with multiple people of different genders lying down next to him, side by side, beaming at Harry and caressing each other. There's laughter and smiles all around. So we see here the recurrence of, I don't think it seems like an active orgy necessarily. It seems like maybe, like, post or pre.
I think it's, again, it's a euphemism. Like, we're not, like, the depiction of Harry sitting on a bed in London is not a direct depiction of Harry sitting on a bed in London. Just, like, all of these people smiling in a bed together is not a direct depiction of them doing nothing smiling in a bed together. Like, I think we are well within our rights to read a little euphemism into that. But yeah, so this is really the main set piece of the video, right? And it's very fun to then experience again the wave of publications trying to find some way to describe a variety of people of various genders cavorting alongside Harry Styles. So that's always amusing to me. But yeah, so, you know, utter befuddlement was a funny description to me. There's kind of this humor in the idea of him being surprised by this scenario.
Yes, like, yes, I agree, yeah.
Especially because it's, like, so prevalent in his previous work. It's, like, there's, like, an inherent comedic aspect of that where he's, like, oh, I'm in a bed with a bunch of different people? What? Me? What? Harry Styles? Like, I'm shocked by this turn of events. Like, there's some kind of, like, self-aware humor there, which I really
also enjoy. The self-aware humor of, like, the video obviously starts out with him being like, oh man, I'm lonely, I want some companionship. And so obviously he goes into the bed world and he exits and he's like, wow, suddenly I have so many companions of so many different genders, all so beautiful to choose from. Oh my goodness, hello, I'm Harry Styles.
Yeah. I'm not jealous at all, not feeling at all slight about the fact that I didn't get an invitation. I would have flown out, but it's whatever.
Key, what was your tweet? We get it, you pull.
We do get it, okay? Come on. Before we recorded, I was like, where's the representation for people who don't date because they don't leave their house? Like, when will Harry make a music video for me? But we can live vicariously through the late night talking and Watermelon Sugar and Lights Up music video, and it's fine. But yeah, so there's also this video I do feel is like very in on the joke. And yeah, like you were saying, there's the fact that the song is like about, you know, devotion, and the fact that there's all these variety of people that he's saying it to, I really enjoy it. I think is kind of special and sweet. I love when he pops up at the foot of the bed. That's just like very fun, and like, you know, rests his chin on his fist. There's a lot of like cheekily resting his chin on his hand and like looking around as if he doesn't know what he's implying, which like obviously he does, which is another way that when I watched the Watermelon Sugar video, maybe this is like an element of Bradley and Pablo's directing. Like, I was like cracking up when I watched the Watermelon Sugar video. It's like a very funny video to me just because of like how on the nose the metaphor is and like how self-aware it is. And so this video isn't like so on the nose as comedic to me, but you're smiling and giggling along as you watch it because it does have that element. And I really enjoyed that. And yeah, I the last thing I'll say about it is, oh, so we have like it ends with like the sleeping dude at the end of the bed, truly me at the orgy. And then I love the transition from, so it goes from like, it's like a shot of like the sleeping man at the end of the bed. And then the next shot is Harry waking up from sleep in the museum. So that's just like a fun, I really like all the transitions from scene to scene in this video. I just think they're really natural. And so like, because each of these different scenes is so distinct and they're all anchored in a different location, I just think like, yeah, they really nailed the transitions from scene to scene. I just feel like it's really well put together.
It wasn't until I'd watched like the video a few times that I realized that every scene in this is in a bed. He like doesn't leave his bed.
That is the central concept.
Yes. But like, initially, like, I was like, oh, he's in a bed in a lot of this. But then I realized that he was like traveling on the bed. I don't know. I never said, listen, listeners, you chose to listen to this. I never said that I had a media studies degree. I don't. so I can be forgiven for missing this aspect. Yeah.
The last thing I'll say about this is, you know, like we were saying before, I think this video strikes a very, very a great tone that's like really well pulled together and that like it's consistent throughout the whole video. And I saw some like speculation, you know, and everybody can have their own interpretation, but you know, I've seen some speculation that like what this is like making fun of his own image and like what is said about him in the tabloids and stuff, that it's like making fun at this idea of him. That like doesn't resonate with me really as to what this is supposed to depict. I just think it's like, it's just so joyful and it's just so what it is. And just because it's like self-aware and cheeky, I think just in the same way that the Watermelon Sugar video is, it's also like a real sincere expression of like,
right,
self in art. And like, I really enjoy that. And this is where
this is where the conversation about camp comes, right? Like, the whole thing about camp is, like, you know, sincerity. Like, I do feel like you could easily make an argument that this video is cheeky in a camp way, because it, like, is really over the top, but it's incredibly sincere.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so I really like that aspect of it. And I think, like, this is actually a good transition, because we can move into kind of the museum set piece, which I think is kind of maybe the one exception to that, not in terms of sincerity, but in terms of, like, more than just vibing going on. But yeah, I just think, like, I really enjoy that aspect of this video and the Watermelon Sugar video, like, and I like that Bradley and Pablo can kind of, like, help bring that to life, where it strikes that good balance of, yes, it's self-aware, yes, it's cheeky, there's kind of a joke there that's, like, you know, self-aware and poking fun at, you know, himself maybe a little bit, but that's not cruel, that's not aimed at anybody else, that's not, you know, that's not it at all. It's like I just had a huge smile on my face the whole time I watched this video. I was like, the amount of, like, affection that this video inspired in me was honestly, frankly, probably disgusting. So yeah, I find that tone and the way that that's portrayed, especially in this portion of the video, to be really endearing and amusing.
Awesome. So then he wakes up in a museum. He's resting on a bed that appears to be part of an art exhibition. It's inspired by a Tracy Emin art exhibition. He looks bemused as he gazes back at the art aficionado staring at him. He has now changed from only the brown pajamas to a tan jacket with a lily on it. I love the lily accents that he has going in this video.
Yeah, the over-the-top big flower is really fun.
Yeah, he also checks the paper fairly concerned, which I can only assume is some sort of scandalous tabloid information about the group encounter that he woke up from.
That's funny, yeah, I didn't think about it that way.
Maybe in the Mirror, the Daily Mail, who's to say, National Enquirer. The point is, Harry is the talk of the town.
It's true. They're all staring at him. I really love the design of this museum scene. Like, I just think the fashion, like, all the models kind of, like, staring at him, like, the berets, the haircuts, like, it's just, like, Harry's aesthetic is such a good mix of, like, 70s and this kind of, like, eccentric British style. And I think, like, the models are kind of, like, this amped up version of that in a way that's really fun. I also think this is, like, a really dreamlike scene. Like, what it reminds me of is anxiety dreams, you know, like the classic, you wake up and you're naked and everybody's staring at you. It's like, you know, you wake up and suddenly you're trapped in a museum and everybody's staring at you. It's like, it kind of reminds me of that. So I kind of like that element of this video, because if it's supposed to be dreamlike, it's supposed to be kind of like a dream sequence-y type video. It's like, you know, you're exploring kind of different dreams, different types of dreams, which I think is fun.
I think the people in the museum, I think that they're supposed to be mean gay people on Stan Twitter.
I just took a sip of my water. I don't know if it's that direct, but no, I do think, in all seriousness, like, this is arguably, like, oh my god, I'm gonna say it's art, like, I've written here, arguably the darkest scene in the video. Dark is, like, really not what I mean. I mean, like,
it's kind of a stretch.
Yeah, it's a major stretch. There's, like, a weight to this scene where I think this scene has some meaning to it that, like, is, you know, slightly different from the rest of the video, and I think it stands out for that reason. But you know, so we might as well just get in. We'll get into, like, that as a theme later on, but, like, obviously there's connotations there of, like, him being out of bed with other people in the middle of a art exhibition with everybody staring at him and interrogating him. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously there's some, like, that's pretty on the nose. But I think what stands out to me upon watching it is how lightly it's handled. Like, there's no dwelling on this. Like, he just moves on super quick and is on to the next thing. Like, this video is not angsty. That's, like, not what it's meant to be at all. And so even this slight moment of confusion is, like, you know, he moves on very quick.
Yeah, definitely. So his confusion turns to delight when he's presented with a delicious looking bowl of spaghetti. Is spaghetti bolognese with meatballs, is that the common terminology in the UK? UK listeners, please let me know if, like, that's the weird thing that you call spaghetti and meatballs over there. Is that anti-British?
I think the British can take it. Although I think that is just like the name of the dish.
Metro UK said underneath the date, is this a Beauty and the Tramp moment waiting to happen? And I did not research it. Is the dog's name in Lady? Surely her name is Lady, right? Like,
yeah, it's this Lady is and the an Tramp. Incorrect. This is an incorrect thing in the article. It's Lady and the Tramp. Okay.
Because it said Beauty and the Tramp in the article.
Yeah, they're thinking like... of, they're combining Beauty and the Beast and Lady and the Tramp with this title, but I, you know, had a childhood in which I consumed all the Disney films 800 million times, so I can tell you.
You can tell me definitively, her name is not Beauty. Okay. Harry has a checkered napkin tucked into his suit while sharing a bowl of spaghetti with a fellow diner, who I think might be a little bit more than just a fellow diner, if you know what I mean.
Okay, the Metro UK calling it a fellow diner is so funny. Like, they could not have been vaguer or included any less specifics.
They had a photo.
That's great.
They had a photo of the person.
Okay, that's good at least. Yeah. Yeah. I just love that his face, like, Harry's face at the pasta on the, like, it's so good. Like, you can just tell, like, there's certain moments, like, in the Lights Up video and stuff where, like, he breaks a little bit. Yeah. And you can see, like, you know, Harry underneath, like, the character that he's playing in the video. I feel the same way here, where it's like you can see on his face that he's amused by the action that he's doing in the video. So it's like fun on multiple levels like that. So that little moment for the transition is just so perfect, and it's just another moment of like just how fun this video is with these like little moments and sound cues and like, yeah, how it all comes together. But yeah, this part's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. This is, so I will say that, like, A, this person is queer and non-binary. They use he, they pronouns.
Representation. Shout out to the he, they squad.
Shout out to the he, theys. Also, this is like, so, I mean, I don't want to, you know, lean into, like, Harry Styles is the most, like, revolutionary person who's ever lived or whatever. But, like, I've never seen... like a gay date in a music video before. like not like this.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, obviously people have done that, but yeah, in this scenario, in this video, for this date to be in there, for Harry, where he is in his career right now, how popular he is right now, it's really, really cool. So I really can't underplay
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, like, at least not in the mainstream. Like, this was something that is new to me to see.
He's on a date with the he-theys.
Yeah, being on dates with he-theys does not really happen in, at least in the mainstream.
It could if people would like recognize me as like open and available, which I am, but you know, what can you do?
And especially Harry, who has been so like, I mean, the museum scene just happened where it showed
that interrogated
and stuff. Yeah. I just feel, you know, really happy and blessed that he is nevertheless willing to make a music video like this. I don't know. That moment is just very, very special.
Yeah, it's just so casual and it's so fun. There's like, yeah, I just, it was, I loved it. It was super well done. And this section of like the different dates is like a fun portion of the video. So we can get into the next one for sure.
He's then transported to sitting up in a bed with a woman as they watch a theatrical production with binoculars, eats a little popcorn. There's a bunch of stills of their date. All of the other date had stills of the spaghetti. This had stills of the, binoculars, watching an opera or something, and he's no longer wearing the jacket with the little lily on it. I guess the opera date girl likes it more casual.
I mean, honestly, I think that this is just a Gucci fashion shoot. I don't see the costume changes as like meaning something like deep and profound as much as I think it's like a cute opportunity to show off some of Gucci's custom looks. But yeah, this is one of my favorite shots in this video is him and her with the opera glasses and like their feet out looking at the, like, they do that like exaggerated like,
yeah,
look over to the stage. It's just like, it's just a really cute moment. So that's really fun.
So she is wearing the t-shirt that was hanging on the speaker in his room in the first scene. So it seems perhaps she may have removed her shirt in there at some point in time.
Or that, like, you know, he's dreaming about her and that that was the person that he was, like, you know, thought was in the bed at the beginning. Mm. You know, I think I would think I would be like, oh, it's just a T-shirt. But why did they do 2 zoomed in shots of the T-shirt in the first scene if you're not supposed to be on the lookout for that? I think it's like a cute little detail to track that. So yeah. It's fun.
Okay. So now, Harry fans will remember when the singer was photographed and filmed riding a bed around London in February this year, spotted outside Buckingham Palace, while accompanied by a guitarist and drummer. Now we finally have the footage to reveal what he was up to, effortlessly singing along to late night talking as cars whiz by.
Yeah, so I guess I don't have that much to say about this because we already saw it, so I feel like all my thoughts are like, I've already had them so long ago. I thought it was a very natural transition between that scene and this scene. I'm just, again, impressed by the craft of the video. I love that, like, this must have been such a strenuous thing to put together and schedule and shoot. And so it's kind of, like, fun to, like, remember that when you're watching it and it's, like, not that long of a portion of the video. That's what you can do when you're Harry Styles, is, like, shut down the grounds in front of Buckingham Palace and shoot for this, like, one scene in this video.
Yeah, what I was saying to a friend earlier about this was, obviously this was supposed to be initially, like, the event single, which is why it was filmed in front of the palace, you know what I mean? Like, this is clearly an expensive video. And I was saying to a friend of mine, I was like, so after the success of As It Was, and then Columbia having to sort of shunt late night talking into July, do you think that, like, any other future post album singles that haven't been filmed, that they're going to try and ask Harry, like, if he'll perform in a paper bag, maybe? Like,
well, evidently not, because he like learned how to be a circus person and got shot out of a cannon, so clearly the budget was not lacking.
Well, true, but that was long before As It was charting for a long time. So now perhaps they'll be hedging their bets, like, ooh, maybe Matilda will just be a fan art slideshow.
Oh, God. But yeah, I just think, again, about this scene, like, we've been talking this whole time, you know, in our previous podcast about how the Harry's House era is, like, kind of like a London era, you know, aesthetically, and we saw that in the As It Was video. So I kind of like that there's, like, identifiable London locations in both the As It Was video and in the Late Night Talking video. I'm kind of interested to see if that's something that continues or if it's just for these two. But yeah, I think it's kind of fun to have that through line.
The fun continues as Harry takes part in an enthusiastic pillow fight. Also, there are Polaroids and footage of Harry cuddling in groups of 3 men and women in his pink pajamas, as well as with 1 woman in pink pajamas. Yes, he is the little spoon with the women. We will discuss these Polaroids in a little bit, because the artist is pretty interesting. But what do you think about the vibes just by themselves, with the pillow fight, with the Polaroids?
Yeah, this is like another, like, the pillow fight's fun because it's like slumber party vibes. And there's also, like, you know, the classic, like, pillow fights are kind of, you know, I didn't invent this. I'm not, like, they're kind of euphemistic in themselves at this point in the culture. So That's kind of fun. And you have him, like, you can really see him really smile when he gets smacked with the pillows. Like, there's this element of, like, coming on set and you get paid to, like, really smack Harry Styles in the face with the pillow.
They go
and,
like, hard. They do not.
They do.
Easy,
they, like, really
him.
Smack him with it. And I can imagine him being like, do it. Like, really smack me with the pillow. And then they do it. Like, you can see that he's amused by that as it's happening. So yeah, I can, like, feel him behind that in that scene. And that's really
cool. Yeah, they really wallop him to the ground too. They're like,
they do.
Yeah, they're like, take it.
Yeah, and then the photos are so fun. I think, again, it's another example of the irony of the song and video, that there's, like, so many partners that, like, you know, in the song, it's like, it's about that initial infatuation stage where you think it's about one person, and then there's kind of, like, it's very fun to see a video in which it's, like, not even just multiple people, but, like, all these different configurations of people. And when you see those photos, like, you know, back to back up against each other, I think it just, like, emphasizes that. So I think that's, like, a fun element.
Yeah, it's very amusing. It's very cheeky. Okay, so he's officiating in the next scene what looks like the most relaxed wedding of all time, on yet another extremely elegant bed, wearing a new jacket with a different pink flower. What do you think of wedding officiantry?
Yeah, I think like Harry already has entered the scene as Jeff Azoff's best man, wearing only a robe and carrying a glass of scotch. So I think really he's kind of killing the wedding attendee game. I thought this part was super cute. I think like my favorite part is like when he goes away and they're like, and it has that like little subtitle of like, what the fuck, like it's just like he's like the wedding fairy, like a sprite, like a demon, like he came to marry them and then he like disappears and they're like, who was that, like what, you know. Yeah. It's just like a very fun little moment in the video.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. As rain pours down on the ceremony, Harry's bed shoots down to earth. As he lays back worry-free in the final shot of the music video, his blue-socked feet kick into the air and he whistles.
Yeah, so you've got, like, the first part of this, which is the narrative close of the video, which I think is the, you know, the bed shooting down to earth, which is fun. I like that he starts out kind of like, what's going on here, and then he, like, accepts it and just lays down. Yeah, I think, you know, people have mentioned, like, bed knobs and broomsticks as, like, a, you know, maybe an influence here. I love the very end of the video, which is, like, you know, you can tell they just, like, shot it. It's, like, bloopers, kind of, which is the same thing that they did at the end of the Lights Up video, where you have that moment where he, like, looks at the camera and is, like, you know, it's a very similar thing. I love that. It's just, like, such a nice little break at the end of the video. Who let him be that adorable? I just don't think that it should be allowed, where he like smiles at the camera. It's just a moment for us all. So yeah, it's just a really adorable and endearing way to end the video.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very cute. Okay, so Key, do you want to talk about theme?
Yeah, so you know, even saying that, like, theme is like a really, I feel, kind of strong word for this video. So not all of these are like, you know, themes in the way that when we talked about like Lights Up or something. Like, I think, you know, there are themes in this video, but I think overall this isn't like a super deep, like, we need to unpack this for 5 hours type deal. So yeah, we're just kind of go through some of the ideas and images that this video kind of, yeah, pulls together. So we'll start out with kind of like desire for companionship. And I think like one of the most interesting aspects of this theme is like the different ways you can find that companionship. So this is clear, obviously, from like the song. That's part of what the song's about. And then, yeah, I just like that in this video, you see him find that companionship with a bed full of all different people. You see him find it on dates with people. You see him find it, you know, marrying two other people. Like, I think it's just, it's like a fun and varied kind of outlook on this idea.
He loves love.
It's true.
And he loves sex.
That is the Harry Styles hallmark.
He loves love and he loves sex.
And don't we know it? He really has not hit
He's
that.
He's very clear.
People. Yeah, speaking of that, like, sex positivity, I also think is a theme of this video. And I think, like, just because the video is, like, euphemistic doesn't mean that, like, it's not obvious and, like, you know, obviously also about that. I think, I don't know if you want me to save this for your breakdown later of kind of the different ways that people described the orgy in this video, but I guess I'll just say, yeah, Variety said Styles sleeping around positive video. That's what I took from it. Mm-hmm. I definitely think that that's kind of what the everybody's sitting on beds thing is about. And I really enjoy that. And so I think, like, I guess it's like this sex positivity, you know, inclusivity in terms of the different people represented in the video. I think, like, orgy scenes would often be kind of like the dark moment in a biopic, you know?
Yeah.
Like, before somebody, like, meets their true love and then, like, becomes a better person. Like, I feel like so often it'd be associated with this kind of, like, dark hedonism. Mm-hmm. That's, like, the down point in a story. Like, I think classically of Bohemian Rhapsody with that, which is a movie that, like, really I'm not gonna get into because I could rant about it for 45 minutes. But you have, I so often I feel like that element of sexuality is, like, seen in kind of like this dark, maybe it's sexual, maybe it's appealing, but in kind of like a dark, forbidden way. And what I love so much about this video is that there's just nothing dark about it. Like, it's just joyful and delightful and natural. There's just any of that kind of, like, angst that normally I see would underlie images like this is just not there at all. So that's something I really like about it.
Yeah, when I saw in the document that you mentioned the biopic, I of course thought about Bohemian Rhapsody, but I also, it's funny because, like, I don't mean to call out Mr. Elton John writing his story about his own life. But it does happen in Rocket Man too, right? Where he has Benny and the Jets. Like,
it's a checklist of any music biopic. Like, you know, if you watch Walk Hard, which is like, you
I
know,
did, I have watched
the biopic parody.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, I must have watched Walk Hard. You know,
you need some like fall, right? Whether that be drugs, whether that be sex and sexuality, there, and oftentimes it's both, especially in queer stories. Mm-hmm. Like, I think so often you see that, and for some people that's their reality,
right?
And especially for somebody like Elton John, if he wants to tell that story and that's his perspective on his own life, like, I see no issue with that. But to see, it's really nice to see kind of like an alternative presentation of that, where that's associated with, like, you know, surprise and pleasure and mm-hmm. fun, and, you know. So yeah, that's probably like the theme that stands out the strongest to me.
When talking about sex positivity, like, he just makes like queer sex seem really fun, and he makes it seem really fun in a way that I was kind of surprised didn't inspire any think pieces. I'm also glad that it didn't. We should leave Harry Styles alone and stop writing think pieces about him. But I was surprised, because it's very like it's definitely, it's, the text is right there. It's saying three guys should have sex with each other if they want to. And I'm like, is this allowed?
Like, yeah, I think almost it's in this way, I think the video is really intelligent, because I think, like, undeniably, at least I get a very sex positive message from it. And I think, like, the cheeky euphemistic tone of it, like, take a drink, I guess, every time I say that in this episode. But I think, isn't doing that in a way that like hides it, or that says that sex is shameful or should be hidden at all. That's like not what's behind the decision to like not have a very explicit sex scene, which I think, you know, is not within the tone or what they're going for at all. But I think like there is element of that idea to which it's so casual, mm-hmm. it's so casually and naturally portrayed, that I think almost it tricks you, where you're like, you just cannot help but receive the message that it's like not a big deal, and it's just like a natural reality, which is really cool and great. And then also, I think it totally makes sense that it would kind of fly under the radar in that way, because this is not a video that points to itself and is like, look at what we are doing.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Like, not what it's about.
It's funny. It's very interesting. Something that was very interesting about this video is, yeah, like, I was reading articles about how did people cope with this orgy in the news. And like a lot of news publications were, of course, saying like, he's in bed with women and men. It's just what we would expect from Harry Styles, blah, blah, blah. And like, they were very casual about it. And like, it's funny. I feel like this video is a very fascinating text, because it's not selling itself as radical or provocative in any way. And I feel like logically, the things that occur inside it, like, they are not things that I commonly see. And I feel like logically, in a different context, would potentially be seen as very provocative. I mean, like saying like, oh yeah, it's like normal and natural to date and have sex with whoever you like and whoever makes you happy. It's actually not like a very accepted idea in a lot of society. And like, and it just kind of went like, somehow it went under the radar. And I think it's because this video just has, however they did it, it just has this force field around it where it's like, well, this is Harry Styles' world. And in Harry Styles' world, everybody just like dates and has sex with everyone. And then we're just all happy, thumbs up. And that's how it works.
I think it's a combination of the tone, you know, how naturally and kind of unquestioningly it's portrayed.
Exactly.
And, you know, I got to hand it off also to people like Lil Nas X, who are like out here lap dancing the devil. So the room for like provoking conservatives on Fox News is like, you know, I feel like there's a lot of different levels here, so it's nice to have them all.
No,
in the
I
very
agree.
Representation there.
And don't get me wrong, I love Lil Nas X, Industry Baby. I know that it charted really well, but I still think it's very underrated, and it's definitely my jam. So yeah, no, I do think that like the tone that this takes in the video, where it's like, this shouldn't be a big deal. So, and then everybody watched it and agreed with it for like 5 minutes.
It's almost because like when you say like, you know, and this is me reading into what you were saying, but I'm like using it as a jumping off point, yeah. Right? Because like even the statement, it shouldn't be a big deal, is like making a statement.
Right, it's making a statement.
And that's like not what the video
exactly
is.
Exactly.
It's just not a big deal.
Right.
It's not being like, this shouldn't be a big deal. It's just not a big deal, you know? And I think that's kind of the key of it, you know?
It reminds me of like how when I was first exposed to The Sims when I was like 15, and my friend who is also now bisexual was like, oh yeah, in The Sims you can just date anybody, it doesn't matter the gender. And I was like, oh cool. So and then all my Sims always dated each other, and for quite some time I didn't know that was wrong. So
and it wasn't
exactly. I feel like that's very much Harry's ethos. I mean, even in the Better Homes and Gardens magazine, where he's just talking about like where we should be moving, is that it doesn't matter. And like, I feel like yeah. instead of saying that it doesn't matter, he just with his collaborators constructed a world where it like, I don't know, like it's just doesn't, it does, the video yeah. has an aura of it, you know?
Yeah. And where the queerness and the sex and sexuality is something that is really joyful. And it's just a part yeah. of that search for a companionship. That's kind of, and that's exploration of companionship yeah. and the different ways you can find it. That's at the heart of this video. So,
exactly. Yeah.
I think that that's something that's really special. And I just love seeing it. Like, you know, like you just said, like as a bisexual, like it is cool and fun. It's like, just to see that same sensibility reflected, and like we can talk all we want about like where's my representation for people who sit in my room with the lights off watching Netflix all day, but like that's in jest. Like in reality, like this is, you know, I could not ask for more than this, you know. And so yeah, it's just really nice from somebody who, you know, I love so much and who I respect so much and mm-hmm. who's so freaking successful and popular right now,
yeah,
to see this reflected is really cool. And yeah, I just, that's a part of it where I was like, this is where I was like disgustingly affectionate at yeah. the end of this video. I was like, that's really my key emotion when it ended. But
well,
yeah.
And it just makes me feel, I don't know, so proud of how far I've been able to see him come as an artist in the past like 2.5 years, to see the journey from like Lights Up, which is very much a statement of like, you know, I'm still exploring, I'm still figuring out
and that is hard, and that there's angst,
and there's like a lot of angst, you know? and then several, you know, years down the line, having Late Night Talking drop, and there's like the only like slight amount of angst is like, oh, I don't like that people are looking at me, but I still am gonna do like whatever I like and what makes me happy. Just to see like the casual like enjoyment and happiness is just like really, I don't know, it's very fulfilling as a fan of him as an artist, certainly. Yeah, it's just, and it's just I don't know, it's just very affirming to me as a queer person to see somebody else who is multi-gender attracted learn to thrive and express it in art and all that sort of stuff. So it's cool. Yeah
That's awesome. Yeah, I feel like that pretty much wraps up all our themes. Like, we didn't touch too much on kind of, like, that moment in the video in the museum where, you know, people are looking at him. I think, like we said before, of course, there's, like, you know, certain connotations and you could talk about how there's, like, sort of, like, a sub-theme, but even that, I think, is overstating it, of, like, the public versus the private, the, you know, the negotiation of a public image mm-hmm. is sort of in here,
right.
But I that's kind of overstating it. Like, I really don't think that that's what the video is about. It's really a short moment where I think, you know, when we think about how this video is about the search for companionship, different types of companionship, sex positivity, that for somebody who's in the public eye, of course, that aspect of it would be an element to explore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's fun and cool to touch on that in the kind of like anxiety dream sequence type zone, but it wasn't the big takeaway for me from this video, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no. I do think that there's like a little miniature arc where it's basically like he wakes up in the museum after the orgy and he's like, oh God, I'm being stared at and talked about. I don't like that. And then he... after the museum, he goes on his two little cute dates anyway and has a nice time. And then the next scene is like, he's literally in a bed in front of all of London and he doesn't give
and he's
two
like
fucks.
Waving.
He's like, hi. You know, yeah. You know? So I it seems to me the arc there is just like implying that like, nah, who gives a fuck? Whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, that's definitely the energy for sure. And that's, yeah, I really like that aspect of it too.
I find that to be very affirming energy as well. Like, man, if Harry can feel like he is in a museum and his bed is in front of all of London and he's just vibing, maybe there's hope for me yet with my anxiety, you know what I mean?
Love that.
All right, is there anything else before we move on that you have to say about the themes of the music video, Key?
I don't think so. I feel like we mostly covered it. Like I said, I just feel like it's like hard to talk really seriously about themes here when I just feel like the video is kind of in defiance of that overall. It's just like, you know, it's just supposed to be like something that's really fun. And so I think that's the main thing I take away from it. So why don't we just kind of let that bring us into the artistry and background portion. So we're not going to get too in-depth into this. Unfortunately, there hasn't been as many like articles and stuff as there have been for some of Harry's previous videos. But yeah, we could just start out with Bradley and Pablo. So these are the same people who worked on Watermelon Sugar. You know, most of our interviews that tell us about their working style and their cinematography and that kind of stuff were from the Watermelon Sugar music video. But yeah, so Gray was great enough to combine some of these quotes for me. So they said for the Watermelon Sugar video that they shot on 35 and 16 millimeter. And that was kind of a core component that they wouldn't compromise on. So I have to assume that that's the same case for this video.
Yeah,
I think you can tell. You can definitely tell. It does have that kind of like vintage film aesthetic that I think, you know, vibes really well with Harry's overall, you know, vintage and 70s influences. And that kind of like reads also nostalgic to me. And, you know, in combined with some of these other film influences on the video, like maybe Bedknobs and Broomsticks and Lady and the Tramp, this video does have kind of like a nostalgic throwback vibe that I really like. So, yeah, was there anything kind of about the filming style or that kind of thing that like jumped out at you from their direction on this video?
No, I do think that vintage style is very much there. And I do very much feel like they have a similar vibe to Harry that kind of fits his work pretty well.
Yeah, that they bring out his sensibility in, you know, with their style.
Yeah, I can definitely see why they wanted to work with Bradley and Pablo again. Especially because, like, it seems like the first go-around with Watermelon Sugar, they were kind of given, like, two photos and then, like, said, we want to focus on boys and girls and sexual pleasure and go have fun with it. And then Watermelon Sugar was born. And so I think that, like, I do think that Bradley and Pablo seem to like get Harry's vibe and sort of like they're able to distill it pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that tone that we've been talking about this whole time that makes this video so special is like it comes from that. And it comes, you know, who does that come from but the directors who have to have like a really kind of good sense of bringing all these elements together to create that. So yeah, I think they did a really good job. I wish there was more information out there about them. There's really not that much at all. So
they did like learn more, but they did like a Charlie XCX documentary or something.
Oh wow, cool.
And like most of the interviews of them are about the Charlie XCX documentary. And like I read those interviews and there was only stuff about Charlie XCX in there.
Wow, so you really did your research. You never lack research.
I don't half ask.
It's the strength of yours.
Okay.
It's true.
So, yeah, what is, I guess, probably more interesting to me are these stills and 16mm camera footage by Vic Letaigne. I think that's how it's pronounced. It's Letaigne. I think that's Letaigne. But maybe, perhaps, I'm just thinking it must be similar to lasagna. And I could be incorrect.
Wow, with the spaghetti bolognese really coming out as Italian hater in this podcast, Gray, which I, as a resident part Italian, really, really don't appreciate. So
I'm Italian.
Wow. Well, it's not my fault you have internalized Italian phobia.
I like lasagna and spaghetti. Okay. All right. So this photographer in particular did a profile for It's Nice That magazine called Capturing Queerness and Identity. Vic Latania's portfolio abounds in intimate portraiture. And Vic really specializes in really similar photographs to the ones that are seen in this video. She has done a lot of shoots with the lesbian community in London and sort of like doing like domestic photographs of them that feel very, very intimate. In the article, they describe her photographs as like, you'll rarely see Vic taking a picture of his still life. Instead, she devotes her practice to portraiture for the way that it enables her to tell delicate moments of humanity and how it exposes a person's identity, character, and often their feelings. She's drawn towards the rawness and energy that her discipline provides, especially that which is achieved through the realness of a photographic portrait. Vic's photography tends to gravitate towards themes of gender fluidity, queerness, identity, and self-expression, all with a dose of quiet emotion and compassion that she feels towards her subjects. So I guess for me, the thing that jumps out is sort of leaping off point of, I guess I just really appreciate that, A, it's awesome that they worked with a woman-loving woman photographer. Like, I think that that's great. And I also love that the bedroom shots of Harry in the pink pajamas were photographed with a very explicitly queer lens, particularly as like a bisexual person. Like, there's often like a kind of value judgment on different, you know, variations of who you might have in your bedroom. But I feel like Vic's queer lens definitely equalizes the couples. And I just think that that's really lovely. What do you think?
I agree. I also think it's really cool that they worked with her at all because they didn't have to. Like,
yeah.
You can have people take photos on a set. Like, there's people who can do that. But to, like, use somebody whose specialty it is to take these photos, especially somebody who comes from a queer perspective and, you know, typically does queer portraiture, I think it's just really special and kind of, like, adds, yeah, a really nice element to this video that just, like, is a nice to have. It like, it didn't need to be there. Like,
exactly.
And it's special to know that when you watch it, and I think, yeah, you can tell. So I really like those photos from the video, and I think, you know, they're worth doing a little pause and pressing the space bar when you watch the YouTube video to see them.
Yeah, it's just cool. I hope that this experience gets more eyes on Vic's work. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess the last little detail that I wanted to pull was the fact that the bed that he is on in the museum is pretty explicitly based on Tracy Emin, My Bed from 1998, which I guess is like Tracy Emin had a sexual depressive episode where she like didn't leave bed and then put her unmade bed in a museum on display. And it was like a whole thing. I did kind of try to figure out like if this had like meaning to the video. And I'm curious to see if like you feel indifferent. I kind of feel like they just thought, oh, it'd be really cool if he woke up in a bed in a museum.
Yeah, I think undeniably anytime you put like there's like that museum exhibit where it was like Tilda Swinton laying on a bed in a museum and you could just go see Tilda Swinton and it was like, you know, modern art or whatever. And like all of these are the same to me where there's just that element of like seeing a person, you know, in the case of Tracy's artwork, it wasn't a person, it was her bed, but that's still like very vulnerable and it's still like something very intimate that you're showing to the world. And so I think that is the commonality, that there's like something, there's an intimacy to that, that like putting something that's so intimate to all of us that we all have in our lives and making it public and putting it into a public arena, I think, is the commonality. I think like, you know, the more specifics of like the depressive episode, I don't think applies so much, but we know that Harry is a fan of her work. And I think he has referenced a lot of artists maybe more explicitly in this era than he has in the past. And so, yeah, I think that that's a cool through line.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. So I guess the last thing that I have to say about the artistry is What do you feel about how the pink pajamas and the brown pajamas seem to be sectioned off into different worlds? Do you think it's like Alice in Wonderland type connotations or something like that?
It could be. There's a little bit of a different aesthetic in the real world, quote unquote, in the mm-hmm. first scene and the other scenes of the video. There's like a deepening in color. You know, that first scene has like kind of like those washed out, more neutral colors. And then you go into the orgy scene and there's like, you know, deeper reds. There's like brighter colors in that I think, you know, is we could, you know, break that down a lot of different ways. But I think there's that element that what he's wearing is emphasizing that. Mm-hmm. I also think it's like we said before that it's kind of like a Gucci fashion shoot. Like we're seeing these different looks in the pajamas. And I think Harry is obviously like a fashion nerd and is a fashion model. And so I think it's kind of fun to incorporate in that way and to show off different, you know, elements and collections and stuff like that. So I think it's both those things.
He's calling you out, Harry Styles, saying Harry Styles shills for Gucci.
Well, all of the, like, I love, there is some overlap here. Obviously, it's aesthetically very, very different from the Watermelon Sugar video, mm-hmm. which was all bright colors and summer wear. And, like, but there is some commonality there, I think, in the, just the kind of, like, I don't know. I just feel like Harry Lambert and the people he works with to dress, like, the models in the video. And they do such a good job of, like, complimenting mm-hmm. what Harry wears and, like, drawing together outfits that are all different and varied and that have personality, but that still work really well together. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this is another video where that was the case.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh, costuming. One thing that I like is the women in these orgy music videos, like they seem to like, I don't know, the clothes that they wear seem to be very comfortable. Like some of them obviously like wear bras, but everybody is always like wearing like pretty comfortable looking, like, you know, this is a swimsuit you would go to the beach in, or these are like sleep pants, or like some of them are wearing t-shirts if that seems like that would be comfortable. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, this is not, again, this is like the, in this way, I think there is a little bit of a difference in tone between the Watermelon Sugar video and this video, in that this video is like kind of purely euphemistic. And so, like, you know, I feel like there is the element of like that's just very casual and natural, and nobody, there's no like undercurrent of anything in these scenes. So yeah, I think that element of the costuming is definitely there. And I liked, yeah, I don't know, I just like the colors. I liked the pink and the greens, and it's kind of like this contrasting colors, but like more of like the lighter spring tones going on, which I think is fun and separates it out from As It Was.
Yeah.
And separates it out from, this is where it's like when people are like, you know, I haven't really seen this criticism at all, actually, but if people are like, oh, the orgy image is like kind of getting old, it's like, it's so different aesthetically from the other videos in terms of like the color palette and everything like that. So I think that's a fun way to kind of like, change it up as you explore kind of like this similar imagery in different contexts.
Do you have anything else to say about the artistry before we move into closing thoughts?
I don't think so. We kind of earmarked talking about the sound design, which was done by Miguel Ferreira, but we talked about that earlier. So yeah, I'll just shout out again here that I think the sound design is really fun and good in this video. And yeah, just like clocking those like little sound effects throughout just really, really helps nail that tone. Yeah, so yeah, definitely. It's really fun.
Okay, so moving into closing thoughts. Do you think that Late Night Talking, the song and video, will have legs? I know we talked about we're unsure if it'll top As It Was, but do you think it'll get back into the top 10 or...
I think that's definitely possible. I think, isn't it in the top 10 right now, or is it like 11
it
or something?
Is number, I'm not sure. 11 right now.
Okay, yeah. So I kind of hate that I know the exact positioning of it in the chart. I think this is like me being completely biased by the one time I went to a restaurant, heard it on the radio, and I'm like, yeah, I guess it could do better because I heard it once. But yeah, I think it could. I don't think that this video is going to be like, you know, a cultural shifting sensation. Everybody's talking about it. I think the window for that has passed for all the reasons we've discussed prior. And I'm fine with that. It's like we said at the lead up to this conversation, like that's kind of almost special to me, where it's like, I was glad to like miss a lot of the controversy. I was kind of scared going into it, especially because we knew some of what was going to be in it from the casting brief, that like there was going to be think pieces and we were going to have to endure all this stuff. And it's like none of that really happened. Mm-hmm. If it did, it was very contained. Like it was kind of nice to have this thing that, like, everybody, you know, all the fans watched together and were like, wow, this is really fun and great. And then the next day you watch Harry's next live show in the next European city. And it's kind of like, you know, something special and experience that we all had at that one moment in time. I think with that being said, I do think because it's such a special video and, like, I hold it close to my heart, I think, you know, over time, especially because he explores this imagery again and returns to it, I think, like, in that respect, it'll kind of keep coming up and being relevant in conversation. And I think fans will always return to it and look back on it. But yeah, I think we are past the moment where it's going to be, like, at the center of the culture.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know, I have no
problems. No, I agree. Again, as we've mentioned, given that something to do with Big Bird Fit Slate is coming, I do kind of feel like, I do kind of feel like that might be the next one. Harry's like, you haven't seen anything yet. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, wait till we see him shoot himself out of a cannon.
To soundtrack the song Boyfriends, I think, right?
Oh, God.
I want Boyfriends to be a single.
I'm sure. I think he does, too.
I think he does.
From all the performances he did.
Here's my thing. Like, well, and that goes into the next question. Like, two singles in. What other songs are you intrigued by as potential singles from Harry's house? And do you think he has a shot at, like, dominating the charts? Do you think that, like, any of his songs have as good of a chance as It Was did?
I mean, I don't think you can replicate that. I think kind of, like, the way I see it, and again, this is mostly based on just it happening last time around, is, like, I think we can, it seems like Harry's kind of been lucky at this point with, like, for each album cycle having one massive kind of natural and progressing hit, and that's great, and that you can't count on that, but it's, like, it's nice that it happened twice, and it kind of speaks to the fact that it wasn't a fluke or whatever, especially because we were, like, the fandom, like, worked hard for it the first time with Watermelon Sugar.
And now, like, nobody, I never see people doing streaming parties or anything. We just are like,
yeah,
yay!
It was all natural. but I don't think you can count on that happening more than once. I'd be extremely surprised if it happened again. I think it's really hard to build up momentum, you know, after a song's release has already happened, and especially once, you know, you've had one other song at the center of the culture. I can think of some examples of other artists who've done it, but also the industry was different at that point. I think it's really hard, so I'd be surprised, but I would love more music videos. Like, I'm excited for that other one that we know is coming. We got, like, something like 6 music videos for Fine Line, which is crazy. I really don't expect that to happen again this time, but hey, I would love it.
I would love it. Harry, come on.
Yeah, so for me, singles are all about, like, I want the music video. Again, I'm not, like, a huge charts head. Yeah. So that's, like, what I look forward to. But, yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that other songs have a chance for number one. I mean, I still think that Late Night Talking has a chance for at least 1 week. Although, I think that, like, About Damn Time has similar energy to Late Night Talking. And that might put them at odds with each other. Which, by the way, About Damn Time, amazing song. Wonderful. A+.
Yeah, really fun.
So if Lizzo boxes out Harry on anything, I mean, what am I supposed to do? Not bow down to the queen? I'm sorry. Yeah, no. So I do think that he has a potential for, like, a post-album single to push, but I don't I think that with Watermelon Sugar, like, the distance of time between the initial release and the song itself made the difference, and we haven't really had that same distance of time yet.
But also, it coincided with the summer. It was like,
true,
everything kind of came together. I think we're also at a point where he's going to be promoting movies soon,
right?
And we're like, I think it's like, I you know, it, depending on what the charts look like and how much room there is in the charts, you could see maybe something happening, but in terms of recreating that success, I don't think it's in the cards, but that doesn't really bother me. I think, like, having it once is like having one of the only 42 songs to ever be in the top 100 for that long is, like, insane in and of itself. So I think, you know, that this video is special in other ways that are independent from that. So
Where does it sit for you in your ranking of his music videos?
Yeah, so I think I put this question in the doc because I feel like, I don't know if my take is, like, hot or whatever, or it's hard with recency bias because everybody's like, oh, the recent one is my favorite, and then, like, they all renege on that as time goes on. But I think I would put this at number 2 behind Lights Up, which is, like, big because I love Adore You. So it's like those two are kind of, Adore You and Late Night Talking are kind of neck and neck for me, which is funny because the two songs I think remind me of each other. But I think I would have to put it at number two, obviously behind Lights Up, which is still like, you know, my favorite thing he's ever done and was my introduction to him as an artist, really. Yeah. So yeah, I think I'd put it at number two.
Interesting.
What about you?
Don't make me rank things.
Well, like, where does it sit? Is it one of your favorites? Is it like, I liked it, but it's not one of my favorites?
It's definitely one of my favorites. It's very watchable. I have watched it so many times, like, and I'm not like sure why. I don't know. Yeah, I really like it.
It's just like peak comfort vibes, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. It's really good. It's definitely in my category of like very good. I like it. I wish that I had known less information about it going in, but that's okay.
Yeah, that is where it's like when I think about Lights Up, like literally not only did I not know it was coming at all and what was in it, but I also didn't even know that I would care. So yeah. There's very, that element very of hard surprise. To top, so yeah. Yeah, so you can't recreate something like that, but I think this is not trying to do that. It's like, I think it sits on its own, and I think it's like so hairy. Like, I guess we haven't said that, so that can be like my final thought, is like, this video is just so hairy, and it fits his aesthetic and vibe and vision so well, and it's like, I just think it's like a perfect encapsulation of like what he's up to right now, and like what I love about him so much. Yeah. So I think that, yeah, the video is really special to me for that reason.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's go into the outro. Key, are you looking forward to non-hairy things? Book, movie, TV recs? One non-hairy thing bringing you joy in these difficult times?
Yeah, so do you know what's great, Gray?
What?
Not having boobs.
Whoa. Having never had them, I wouldn't know, but...
Wow, that's true. but you should have empathy for me. I would really recommend it. So that's been great for me. And yeah, other than that, I would say somehow my answer is still going to be Stranger Things. I feel like that's what I said on our last podcast, and I really didn't expect it to be what I said for the following episode. And somehow it is again, because it's like all I've thought about besides Harry and the other things going on in my life for the past 2 months. So Gray knows this on a deep, deep level, as he knows Stranger Things now only through what I have said to him about it.
I just assume that all of Key's opinions are correct.
And they are. So thank you for validating that. Yeah. No, but yeah, I really enjoyed season 4. It is not my favorite season of the show, but I just love all the characters so much. And I rewatched the entire show like twice all the way through in the past 2 months, and once with Ava, our previous podcast guest. And it's just been so fun. And like revisiting the show and like just getting back into it. Stranger Things is one of those shows where I'm like, I forget about it when it's like not here, and then it comes back and I'm like, why did I forget about this? It's like one of my favorite things. So yeah, that's been really nice over the last couple months. So what about you, Ray?
Life thing. I have a girlfriend, and that's really nice.
Yay.
I don't always get into my personal life too much on here, but I don't want to keep calling her my friend. It makes me feel like... It makes me feel like I'm at a homophobic function. So yeah, I have a girlfriend. She's really great.
I can confirm.
Yes, Kia's met her. We're both millennial Harrys, and it's awesome.
Love
and
that.
Then in terms of recommendations, you should listen to Lizzo's special immediately.
Oh yeah, I need to listen to the full album.
Yes, you do. If you haven't listened to it yet, what's wrong with you? Like, including you, Key.
Wow, called out.
Her streams are not enough, and I think that her album should do amazing. She's special and beautiful and deserves the world. So go listen to Special. Listen to Everybody's Gay. Oh my god, the To Be Loved song.
What a great name.
The To Be Loved song, Am I Ready to Be Loved? Oh my god, it's so good. Go listen.
I need Lizzo to play Coachella so that she can invite Harry and they can sing Treat People with Kindness and Everybody's Gay.
Unhinged. Love it. No notes. Perfect. Okay. Yeah. So, Key, do you want to take us out of here?
Yeah, so you can contact us at weblameharrystyles@gmail.com. On Twitter and Tumblr, we can be found at Harry Styles Pod. You can follow us there, DM us there if you have any suggestions. Let us know what you think of the show. We had a really fun time doing this episode, even though we've had a little break, so hopefully we will be more frequent in the future, and no promises. So yeah, let us know what you thought of this episode. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed late night talking about this video. Was that good? Was that another way to do that is to rate and review our podcast, which you can do on iTunes and Spotify. So we'd so appreciate it if you just took a second and give us a rating if you enjoyed.
Subscribe to us in your preferred podcast host to become notified of our next episode. Thank you for listening and talk to you next time. Goodbye.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Do it now.